grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. For the next hour, we're going to be talking to Mr. Gerald Celente, who's written a great deal and has been appeared a number of times on our major programs across America, giving his impression of what's going on today in the financial world and what the future hopes. And certainly he'll be telling us that, and of course we can refer you to his website. But Mr. Celente, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you just pick up the story and tell our listeners, you had predicted that we were going to have this financial crisis, but then, of course, you feel there's going to be a lot of other problems, so I'm just going to be quiet and let you talk.
Well, we have a publication, the Trends Journal, and in 2007, we took out the domain name, the Panic of 08. We were so confident that there would be an economic 9/11 in 08 that we went ahead and did that, because what we're leading up to is really the greatest depression, and it's going underway right now as we're speaking. The collapse of 09 is happening before our eyes. As we know, the stock market is, back to 1997 levels, and we're looking at gold prices now moving toward $1,000 an ounce, and there's really very little in the future that's going to prove positive. We say that current events form future trends. So when you look at the current events and you see companies like Macy's, for example, showing sales off 60%. You look at other places, Target, which used to be one of the premier retailers, off 41%. These are real numbers, and they're Depression-era-level numbers, these kind of fall-offs. The significance of this is that in 2008, for example, we saw Circuit City, Stephen Barry's, Sharper Image, Linens and Things, etc., go belly up. And then we saw all of these store closings, whether they're Starbucks, Home Depots, Office Depots. The question becomes, who is going to rent all of this vacant retail space? And the answer is no one. And then you look at the commercial sector with offices. We saw, Merrill Lynch, Bear Stearns, Wachovia, Washington Mutual, one after another go into deep despair. Who's going to rent all of that empty office space from the downsizing and companies like Lehman that went out of business? The answer is no one. We're going to have a glut of commercial real estate, and commercial real estate is much more highly leveraged than the home sector. So So this is going to be the next shoe that drops, and when it lands, it's going to be loud and ugly, because this stuff is really leveraged, there's no one to rent, and it's going to cause a severe economic depression that there's no amount of money that could be printed that's going to save the day.
Well, they certainly paint a very, what I believe is a very realistic picture of what's going on, and we're trying to get people prepared. How long do you think this is going to last, though? I mean, the government says that they're going to create a stimulus bill and everything's going to be fine. Well, maybe not fine. It's going to be a little while, but if you just spend enough money, why, we can correct the situation. What do you think about that?
Well, it's fantasy. You can't, you know, it's not even economics 101. It's economics for dummies. You can't print money based on nothing and without causing hyperinflation.
Well, how do you think that we will be seeing hyperinflation down the line?
If they keep continuing to do what they're doing, absolutely. We're going to look like Weimar Republic, Germany, or Zimbabwe. You can't print money based on nothing.
Well, that is Economics 101. I'm not sure that Mr. Geithner and his friends have pretty taken that. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Gerald Celente, and of course he puts out a report going on to what's going on. And certainly last year, I should say in 2007, he was anticipating the collapse of 2008. And of course now we're into 2009 and things are going from bad to worse. And as he points out, certainly, you know, Macy's sales are down 60%, Target sales are down 41%. We're not only having a housing crisis, but a commercial property crisis. And certainly, you know, production, our manufacturing is down, imports are down, our exports are down. So, and of course, they're simply trying to solve the problem by printing more money. And as Mr. Celente points out, you can't spend your way out with money that you don't have. And if you print money, you end up, of course, destroying the value of what you have. So, you've actually made some predictions about civil unrest in our country that were very disquieting. Do you still hold to this idea that we are going to see civil unrest in America?
Well, once again, current events form future trends, and Americans are very naive if they think that that's the kind of thing that only happens in Iceland or Latvia or Lithuania or UK or in Ireland. Well, 150,000 people took to the streets in Ireland this past week. They've overthrown the Icelandic government in revolution. I mean, if you want a more docile place than that on the planet, you know, I'm originally a Bronx boy, and my saying is that when people lose everything and there's nothing left to lose, they lose it. And people are going to start losing it. And what we also have is, unlike the Great Depression, and this is why we're calling it the Greatest Depression, back then, more people were self-sufficient. 21% of the people lived on farms. And now, I mean, there are more people in jail than there are farmers. And back then, we were an ascending society. We're not anymore. You know, when you look at the graduation rates, for example, in high schools in major cities, it's under 50%. So now you have people that are, you know, they're basically ignorant, unemployable. They're taking drugs that we've never heard of before, whether it's hillbilly heroin or you name it, and they have nothing to lose, and they've lost everything. You're going to see violence? You bet. And we're also going to see revolutions. Taxpayer revolutions are going to lead it. I mean, can you imagine these imbecile politicians raising taxes as median income is down below 1999 levels? And you tell me the common sense of this. Every year my property taxes go up.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. As we bring other stations back on board, our guest is Gerald Celente. And Gerald is talking about civil unrest. He's talking about revolutionary action on the part of people who are totally frustrated. Of course, President Obama said, why, of course, the tax increases only for those, you know, making over $250,000 a year. And if you believe that, then why, of course, I'd love to sell you the bridge we keep here in my backyard, because you know, there's the people who make over $250,000 a year, they're not going to be able to, there's not enough of them around, you know, to solve the problem we have. They're going to, it's like the alternative income tax, you know, that was put out. That was just for the very wealthy. It was a tax for the very wealthy. I mean, after all, why shouldn't the wealthy pay more than the rest of us? And then the next thing you know, why, we're all getting stuck with the alternative income tax. That was the way it was always intended. And I think they're going to have to raise the taxes on just about everybody down the line, don't you, Gerald?
Well, they are. They're doing it across the board, whether it's property taxes going up. I mean, again, tell me the logic of this. Every year my property taxes kept going up because my real estate values kept going up. Okay, now they're down 18% on the year. How about lowering my taxes 18%? Oh, no, you live in New York. We're going to raise them 7%. Oh, and by the way, when you get a haircut, there's a tax more on that, too. And when you get in a cab, a bigger tax on that. Oh, you want to have a beer? More tax on that. You're going to go over the bridge? Oh, a bigger tax on that. These hassle taxes, there's going to be a revolution in this country. And if people can't see it, they're blind. And if they're hoping that there's going to be a savior, a messiah to bail them out, they're really, you know, living in delusion. Because there's no one there to help you. You have to help yourself. And what's the only thing that we can see that could reverse this trend is what happened in the 1990s as an example. In 1992, we had unemployment rates that rival what we have now as we're going into the slowdown. The only thing that got us out of it was called the Internet Revolution. Products were invented, they were designed, they were manufactured, they were marketed, and they were serviced. It was a productive capacity. We need a productive capacity. So it could come in the form possibly of an alternative energy, but not this biofuel ripoff or wind or solar or geothermal, which are, you know, they're not cost effective for what they're doing. It has to be something much greater, like a zero point energy, charge clusters, hydrino power, something really revolutionary. In the absence of a productive capacity, the steps that are now being taken by Pelosi, Frank, Bonner, Bond, Shelby, you go across the list, Republicans and Democrats, the only people they're missing in the mix are Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello. There's not one thing that Congress could point to and say to the people, wow, we really did a good job. Look what we've accomplished. The only thing they accomplish is living a cushy life by getting themselves reelected each year. So if people think that the government is going to save the day, they're mistaken. The Titanic is sinking. Their lifeboats are there, but they're only for the wealthy. The rest of the people, they're called the too big to saves. Back then they were called the too rich to drowns. So we're going to see the too small to saves get locked into steerage as the too big to fails are bailed out.
And I don't know why anything should be too big to fail. These are the people who brought this whole cascade of debts upon us. These are the people who are bundling the fallacious, the predatory loans into bonds and selling them throughout the world and guaranteeing them and getting them rated AAA. I mean, these people should be held responsible for what I believe was fraudulent sales that are pushing with the greatest fraud of modern times. And yet we say, you're too big to fail. Why doesn't anybody ever bring that out, Joan?
Well, you know, we do. It's in our trends journals. And this is the thing. I mean, you said it perfectly. Let's take one example. Citigroup. I mean, yeah, it almost costs as much to use an Citigroup ATM machine. Oh, these lovely people with their Visa Citigroup cards that charge you, you know, like up to 30% interest if you're 6 minutes late on your account. These wonderful people. Put together by Sandy Weill, former CEO of Travelers Insurance. He had a dream. He was going to create a one-stop financial supermarket where everybody could go and do business with Citigroup. He merged with Citibank and bought out Smith Barney and created this giant firm, and the media elevated Sandy Weill to genius status. How about calling him a greedy little pig that he had to put everybody else out of business so they could become clerks for him so he could get his billions of dollars? This is the Sandy Weill that took his family on a Christmas vacation to Mexico after we've given them billions and billions of dollars, countless billions, with a Citigroup jet that cost $100,000 for a week-long vacation. These are the people that we're bailing out. Is there anything wrong with America? Will people be surprised when other people commit crimes, when they see the kind of criminal activity that's going on from the top down to the bottom? They're saying to themselves, why not me? They're ripping us off. Let me rip somebody off. So we're losing the morality of this country.
Well, of course, I think we've already given him 40 or 50 billion that we promised to actually do. You know, simply bail him out for another couple of, I think, what is it, close to 300
billion? Yeah, 300 and something billion in promissory bailout.
So why should we be bailing out Citigroup? I mean, just because they say they're too big to fail. I don't believe they are. I think we'd be better off without them. Because
of course they would be. Let them fail. What is, unless they're, I know that their mother's not better than mine. I can't speak for anybody else out there. I mean, who came up with this nonsense, too big to fail? It's the arrogance of, if Wall Street has taken over Washington. We did a piece in the Trends Journal back in September when this whole TARP baloney started, you know. And that was the headline, D.C. heist. Wall Street hijacks Washington. It's the same people. They've just changed positions. They just put this guy from Quadrangle Leverage Buyout Firm as an assistant to the Treasury Secretary now. I mean, it's one. It's the same club. They've just moved location.
I think that's very true, especially Timothy Geithner, formerly the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, who worked with Paulson, Henry Paulson, and Ben Bernanke, you know, as this little clique, you know, are creating a problem, and now they made him the Secretary of the Treasury, and he's supposed to solve the problem that he created, and I don't think he has any idea what to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, isn't that what's called insanity? When the same people that keep making the same mistakes over and over again and you expect a different result? I mean, this is insanity. And as you point out, you know, Geithner's also part of that Robert Rubin crew, who also was a Citigroup, you know, one of these guys who walked away with $150 million. And Geithner, of course, and Rubin and Summers, the other one from the Clinton team that's now Obama's chief economic advisor, you know, these are the people that dismantled the Glass-Steagall Act, the banking act that was put in place following the Great Depression, so that the banks couldn't become the banksters and get in the brokerage business and in the insurance business. You know, as I said, you know, how about, you know, I'm of Italian descent. I've heard enough mafia stories for the rest of my life. You know, Tony Big Nose Pagano. How about Sandy Greedy Pig Weill? Or what's that other guy? Ken Money Grubbing Lewis from Bank of America. They're robbing the people blind. And the people, you know, they want to hope that somebody's going to save them. They're not. They're only going to rob them more.
Well, I'm really, really primarily concerned right now about the stability of our currency. Right now, the currency looks pretty good. You know, people all throughout the world are investing here in the United States because they don't know what to do with their money. Everybody throughout the world is frightened to death. But, you know, down the line, as the American government prints more and more and more and more and more money, one of these days, why, the value of our currency is going to go like it did in Zimbabwe, it looks to me.
Well, that's why we have been forecasting gold. Our first forecast was of gold. We picked the bottom at $275 an ounce in December of 2001. We said that was the bottom. And now what we're saying is that gold 2000, you can't print money based on nothing. And again, the other aspect of this that's really frightening is that the rest of the world is looking to the United States to save the day.
Well, I don't think the United States is going to save the day. I'm not sure who is going
to
save
the
United States. This is the problem, because I just don't see the leadership out there, other than Ron Paul, who seems to say a few things that make pretty good common sense. Why, most of the other people just figure out how we're going to spend our way out of the problem that we got from too much spending.
Exactly. You know, and again, you know, you need a productive capacity. You can't, you know, just print your way out of this. This is insanity. You know, people say, are we becoming, you know, a socialistic country? This isn't socialism. Government capitalism is called fascism. And that's what's going on here.
Well, I certainly agree with you. So what are your suggestions? Now, you're suggesting primarily we're going to have to look after ourselves and just try to survive this coming crisis. Would that be a fair estimate?
Depression-era self-defense.
All right, fine. And of course, are you going to suggest gold, silver? Are you going to suggest gold stocks, silver stocks, foreign investments? Well, when we get back here, I will let you cover these things. But I think a lot of people, you know, are just sitting and they're afraid to do anything, like the deer in the headlights. And they've got their money in the stock market or in their pension fund. They're waiting for it to come back again. And, well, you don't really think it's going to come back, do you?
Not at all.
All right. Our guest is Gerald Celente, and we'll give you when we get back here, why we'll let you know how to get his information. I mean, I've seen him a number of times on video, and he's excellent. Well, Gerald, certainly you're talking about the investments and being self-defense, but certainly what should people be doing with their money today? Most people are putting the money in T-bills. Is that a good investment?
Well, we don't believe in the dollar, you know, basically, and we think if they continue to do what they're doing, they're going to devalue it. We don't give financial advice, but I wouldn't put any of my money in it. The only investments I make are in gold.
All right.
And it's the only thing that I trust. I leave very little money in the bank. We only have our operating expenses for the Trends Research Institute in the bank, and the rest of the money we keep taking out. We don't trust it in there, and we keep buying gold.
All right. What about silver? Is that a valid investment?
I'm not well schooled enough in silver. And by the way, I've been buying gold since 1978. And I've been following it since then. So I'm really not a silver expert, but I believe from everything that I do know about it that it's a solid investment. But I like gold better because of, you know, the luster of gold and you know, its importance throughout civilization as a monetary exchange.
Well, and of course, the thing is that, you know, if society begins to break down, and having read some of your suggestions, you're suggesting that we're actually going to see the breakdown in the structure of society. That's a frightening thing to contemplate.
Well, it is frightening, but it's very real. You know, we're looking at, this is more than an economic meltdown. The entire global financial system is melting down. And again, current events form future trends. Look what's going on. Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Hungary, Ireland, Iceland. I mean, name Spain. You know, you name the country. You know, protests in France. You know, wait till Latin America is going to erupt. Look what's going on in Mexico. My God. You can't even get the police force. Nobody wants to join it anymore because they're going to end up with a bullet in their head. You know, with the narco gangs and on and on. So we're going to start seeing the same kind of thing happen in this country, because this is a very different country than it was during the Great Depression. You know, and most people, you know, as I've talked many times, they 21% of the people lived on a farm. Now, you know, there are more people in jail that work farms. So people don't have the self-sustaining abilities to do for themselves. And back then, you know, we were a much smaller country, and we were an ascending society. You look at high school graduation rates in major cities, it's under 50%. So you have a bunch of ignorant kids, their minds blown on drugs that we've never even heard of before, you know, hillbilly heroin, you name it, a whole list of things. And now they're out of their mind, and they have nothing to lose, Yeah, it's going to be really ugly. Look at crime with the gangs. You're going to start seeing gangs. They're going to look like armies. And in these rural places, they're going to move away from the cities. They'll take over small outposts. And there'll be house invasions. These are real things. They're going to happen. Look, they've just changed the entire structure of our country through the, beginning with really with Clinton, accelerated under Bush, and now this with Obama carrying on the Bush programs of these bailouts and just when Bush is leaving office, he has the gall to say that he's chucked free market capitalism. I mean, who is this guy?
We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Gerald Celente, and he was just saying that when George Bush left office, he made some remark about, well, he was going to embrace socialism to save the free enterprise system, some ridiculous statement such as that. But I don't know why we should be surprised. George Bush gave us the largest socialist changes in this country we've ever had, including, of course, the Medicare drug bill, the No Child Left Behind policy, and, of course, Judge Bush talked about this free enterprise, and he didn't believe it at all. He gave us the biggest deficits, federal trade deficits, and federal deficits we've ever seen. Well, Mr. Celente, of course, his basic theme is people are going to have to begin thinking about how to survive as the very structure of our society begins to break down. So would you like to get your website out and to let people know how to get in touch with your organization and perhaps get your report? How does that work?
Yeah, we have a publication, the Trends Journal, and our website is trendsresearch.com. And if they go to trendsresearch.com, they could see a sample issue of what we had forecast in the past in 2008, and they could see what we're forecasting now, and it's a quarterly, and we'll be coming out with a new edition within the month.
I was rather surprised when I heard that Zbigniew Brzezinski on television the other day simply talking about, the coming class warfare and really almost inferring there's going to be a breakdown in society. It almost sounds like he'd been reading your publication.
Well, a lot of people have, actually, and a lot of people are saying now what we've been saying. And if you put my name in YouTube, Celente, C-E-L-E-N-T-E, and you'll see me on whether it's Fox, Russia Today, the number of different media that we've been forecasting this a long time ago, that there would be this class warfare in this country. So they're just getting on board with it.
Well, I think it's important that somebody is out there leading the way, trying to get people to think, because I agree with you totally, Gerald. I think that we are in for the worst times we've ever seen. I'm old enough that I can remember the Great Depression, and I'm many people that do remember it. But, of course, I can remember as a young boy, seeing the people coming to the door just begging for a sandwich, just for something to eat. So, fortunately, we probably won't have that here for a time. But, my concern is that...
Well, I can tell you, we already have it where I am. We're having people come into our building looking for jobs on a steady basis. And one guy, he had some deposit bottles, and he just ran up and grabbed them and ran away with them. People are very desperate. They're either one job away from losing everything, or they have lost everything. And you look at the faces of these people, these aren't people that had been homeless before. And we're seeing it with the reports we're getting back from soup kitchens and across the board, families coming in that never were on the dole before. They just cannot find work anywhere. And by the way, that's another issue to look at. We're going to see unemployment that's going to be as high as it was during the Great Depression.
I'm sure you're right, and right now they, of course, I think they're lying about the figures. I think they say that 7.8%, but even I think Ben Bernanke's talking about maybe going up to 9%, and of course that'll simply be a cover for the real degree of what's going on. So suddenly, we can't generate jobs. I mean, what they should have done with their supplement bill was just massive tax cuts to encourage people to begin to be productive and to spend money and to invest money with the idea of making money. But suddenly raising taxes and, of course, spending a lot of money on government is not how we're going to get out of this problem.
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right. And this thing, well, the reason that they will not cut taxes is that when you look back in 2008, for example, although we lost, 3.5 million jobs, not in government, they created jobs. So the more government jobs are created, the stronger the base is for the politicians to get reelected. So that's what's going on over here. That's why they're not cutting taxes, because cutting taxes means cutting government jobs. We got this guy in New York over here, this Patterson. You know, they're talking about cutting like 400 or 500 jobs. What, are you kidding? I mean, 400 or 500 jobs. That's nothing.
I know. Well, I think we're in real trouble. Of course, I live in California, and I think if we got it up to this $42 billion deficit. Of course, fortunately, why the federal government is going to give us all this free money, but nobody ever asks where the free money is going to come from, and they're going to just start shoveling it out as rapidly as they can. I think you'll even get some of it in New York. Fortunately, a few of the states are saying they're not going to take it, but. You know, that's sort of like, you know, just setting yourself on fire, you know. As long as it's there, why not take it? And on the other hand, it's philosophically wrong. Well, will you be able to stay with us? You're going to have to leave.
I could stay with you a little while longer.
All right, fine. Well, we'd love to have you with us. Our guest is Gerald Solanian. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Gerald Celenti. And Gerald, you let me know when you've got to take off. What do you think about General Motors? Shouldn't they be told, well, if we don't, don't bail out General Motors and give them another $10, $15, $20 billion, why, there are going to be a lot of people out of work. You know, they're just going to have to go into bankruptcy. And of course, the whole automotive industry will collapse, and we ought to have an automotive industry. And how do you respond when people say, well, we've got to do something?
Well, you know, there's a wonderful quote attributed to Christ that I can heal the sick, I can make the blind see and the lame walk. I could even raise the dead, but not even I, can save a fool from their foolishness. Who would want to save General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler for building these moron mobiles that they've been building for decades? As the rest of the world is progressing, why should anybody bail out their failures? This guy Lutz from General Motors that just retired in 2005, and we had it in one of our trends journals, he said anyone that thinks high gasoline prices are going to hurt SUV sales doesn't know what they're talking about. They're wrong. Oh, yeah? This is a guy that has just produced one loser after another. And they keep doing it. And look who, by the way, owns Chrysler Corporation. Cerberus. What a lovely name to name a company. The three-headed dog that guards the gates of hell. You know, what a brilliant... Hey, dear, look what we're going to name the company. And then you know who is in this company? Jon Snow, former Treasury Secretary under Bush. The brightest of bright lights in American history, Dan Quayle. Oh, another genius, Nardelli, the guy that ruined Home Depot at the height of the real estate boom, that walked away with, $210 million. He's the CEO of Chrysler. And then this is the same group, by the way. Remember when they turned GMAC into a bank?
Right.
You know who owns 51% of GMAC?
Who?
Cerberus.
Well, you know, because Cerberus has said that they'd like to put more money in, but the bondholders, the members, people who invest in the company won't let them, so they just can't put any money more into Chrysler, so the American taxpayers are going to have to do that. And I was wondering, you know, how do you run an organization and the people who are invested in it tell you what you're going to do? I mean, after all, if you're going to run the organization, you're going to run it. I just think they don't want to put any more money in. Why should they? If they're going to get free money from the American taxpayers.
Exactly.
We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest this afternoon, Gerald Celente, and I'd asked him, you know, during the break there, what he thought about General Motors and funding General Motors and Chrysler, and of course, he is not a person to certainly withhold his opinions. He thought it was a stupid move, and why should we bail them out? The things that they've done, the foolish things that they've done, and certainly there's no sense in pouring more good money after bad. We've already given them a lot now, and now they want more, and I fear that if we give them more, they'll want still more after that, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and what are they going to do? More money's going to make them smart? I mean, do you remember the old saying, as goes General Motors, so goes America? And that's exactly what's happened. You know, General Motors has been producing, as Chrysler and Ford have, loser cars. As, you know, the Japanese and Europeans have taken bigger and bigger chunks of building better automobiles. And by the way, the people that are going to survive in this coming greatest depression are going to be the ones that understand the value of quality. And quality doesn't mean it has to be a lot of money. It means it has to be done with integrity, the best of the best. Whether it's, you know, you can open up a coffee shop just because Starbucks is closing them. That has to do more with predatory practices, opening up three stores on two blocks. You can open up a coffee shop, but make it unique and have the best of the best crepe, the best donut, or the best crumb cake. You know, we have a place in New York City, Magnolia's. People come from all over for their cupcakes. The best of the best will make money in this new environment.
Well, I think you're going to have some sort of a special gimmick to survive in what's coming ahead. And certainly what we're seeing, you know, is more and more of the major corporations, you know, cutting back. I was surprised to see Microsoft laying off, you know, I don't know, 5,000 people, something like that. I mean, certainly you would think that these companies would not be having trouble, but Apple, everybody is having trouble. This is a worldwide phenomenon. You know, certainly some of the people, some of the experts have been telling people, well, what you really want to do is invest in third world countries, you know, in China and the other countries. That's where the real profits are going to be made, and a lot of people took their advice, and what happened?
Well, you see what their markets are doing. You know, they were down as of January, you know, they were down, you know, 50, 60, 70%. And, you know, people are thinking China's going to rebound stronger. You know, China, last year in China, there were over 120,000 major riots and strikes. They have 1.3 billion people and a million problems. China's going to erupt. You see what's going on already in Thailand. Vietnam is going to be next. Look at Japan. Japan announced their GDP was off 13%, 12.9%. Could you imagine? So this is a global meltdown. These countries only exist because of their exporting, not because of what they're doing internally. And now their great market that used to suck up their exports, the United States, we're moving into depression.
And for a second, I think people don't understand. I think Japan was the second largest economy in the world, second only to the United States. So when they're getting into real problems, I think that reflects really what's happening throughout the rest of the world. And I don't see that we're going to turn this thing around for a good long while. Of course, people are saying, well, by the end of 2009 or maybe by early 2010, why everything is, you know, we're going to, you know, things go in cycles, they're going to go down and going to come up. But how long, do you have any idea how long this is going to last?
Well, first of all, the same people that give the prognosis of when it's going to end were the same ones that never saw it coming. So that's an immediate discount of why would anybody believe them. It will only change when we have a productive capacity. Like I said, you know, the Internet revolution, you know, in the 1990s, products were invented, they were manufactured, marketed, serviced. You need a productive capacity. And by the way, as you well know, being around during the last depression, you know, the way the United States got out of it was World War II. And we had the world's major, there was no number two, there was the United States and no one else as the world manufacturing giant. We don't have that productive capacity. This could go on for decades.
I think that's really what's so frightening, and Chris, even more frightening to me, is the possibility that they might engineer a war simply to try to get us out of this mess that they've created. And if we were to get into another war, may God forgive us, you know, we'll be in terrible, terrible problems. Now, we certainly, what I think most people don't understand, that we've been intentionally and purposely actually shifting our manufacturing capacity overseas. Why in heaven's name would any logical administration, either Democrat or Republican, intentionally encourage our manufacturing to move overseas, giving them special tax breaks and special benefits, to leave this country and take our jobs with them? That doesn't make sense.
Because they're criminals. Is that a simple answer? I mean, they're greedy people that want nothing more than power and get as much money as they could get their hands on. I mean, look who, this is not a democracy we're living in. It's a plutocracy. It's a government controlled by the wealthy. So politicians are pawns for the corporations. Look where they get their money from. I mean, this is no secret. You know, they like to talk about Obama, for example, you know, that he did so great on the Internet. Yeah, he did well on the Internet, but look where he got his big dough from. And he got it from Wall Street and other big banksters. You know, so they're the ones that are pulling the strings, and the politicians are jumping to the tune. So they sold out America for their own well-being. These people don't, you know, I began my career just briefly at a graduate school in 1970. I ran the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York, a sizable city, you know, like 300,000 people, and worked in Westchester politics. And then they were grooming me. They sent me up to Albany to work for I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. It was the worst job I ever had. You know, I was a young man, you know, and I'd be BSing with my pal in the back of the chambers, and all of a sudden a senator would walk in. And my buddy would leave me to go pull out the chair to help the senator sit down. And he'd come back and I'd say, "What's the matter? The cat can't sit down by himself. He needs help." The point that I'm making is that the only way you get to the top in government is to suck your way up to the top. And that's all it's about. It's about people that never had to get dirt under their fingernails that are spoiled rotten. Look at the way they live. They live like kings and queens. The noblemen never lived as good as the senators and congressmen in this country do.
Well, I share your concern about that. They have a wonderful pension system. They have a wonderful medical system. And, of course, as the Obama administration now apparently is moving to ration access to health care, and this is part of the new stimulus bill, which nobody talked about. Maybe that's why they wouldn't let anybody read it ahead of time. But they're talking about rationing health care to the elderly, but I wonder if they'll ration access to health care to the elderly congressmen and senators like they do to us common folks.
Oh, of course, you know. We know the answer to that without even discussing it.
Yes, they're not going to get Social Security. They have their very special pensions for the rest of their lives. You don't have to be there very long before you get a wonderful pension and, of course, all sorts of benefits. And now you are no longer an individual. You are the honorable so-and-so.
Yeah, the honorable. Don't you love it? Well, I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in anybody's political religion. I don't believe in political gods. And I don't genuflect at political altars.
Well, I'm sure you don't. And I think that, of course, you're having a tremendous impact out there because you're outspoken and you're saying it like it is. And I'm amazed that you're getting onto Fox and all the other major outlets. They're saying what you're saying, even though I believe everything you're saying is absolutely true.
Well, the reason we're getting on is I've been around since 1980, and we've never stopped, you know, making these forecasts, and they cannot be ignored any longer. And you know, the Internet is very viral in a lot of ways, in the sense that, you know, we're everywhere. And we've made our mark, and there are people that want to know what to do next to survive these difficult times that lie ahead. And as we say, you know, the strong-minded, and this is more about being just physically strong, it's about being mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually strong to become financially strong. It's the whole health process. So the people that are aware enough are saying, you know, I have to make steps and take actions where I can provide for my family and provide for myself and not lose what I have. So that's why I believe our popularity is where we're at now, because we're doing our best to provide those kind of answers and guidance.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. Actually, I know you've been on Alex's program, Alex Jones, a good friend of ours, and many of the other programs that that we support and that support us and our efforts. Well, certainly you laid out a scenario. You've talked about the importance of getting gold, and certainly the one thing that I think is going to destroy so many people is debt. What are your thoughts about debt? You know, one of the things that they've done through the years is get everybody to spend and get into debt and get into debt. That looks to me like the poison that's going to destroy the lives of an awful lot of people.
Well, look what they're doing right now. They want to pump more money into the system so people could go out and buying more of what they don't need. This is the only country in the world where we have such things called self-storage units, that people have so much garbage that they have to take it off site. And it is this whole debt thing. Again, you're from a generation, and you go back to the Depression. There was no such thing as a credit card. You didn't buy anything until you had the money to pay for it. And we're going to go back to that. We're seeing the end of this right now, this whole mentality. And as a matter of fact, there's going to be another reason why we're going to see the death of credit cards eventually, and that is cyber crime. There's going to become a time when people's plastic money is going to be tapped into and stolen from cyber criminals around the world. We can really see a time when cash is the only thing used in the society.
Well, I do hope you're right, because I would hate to think of ever getting into a cashless society, although I know there's some people who'd like to do that. But, of course, let's hope and pray that we do go back to some sort of sanity where a man, his word is as good as a dollar, you know, as a man. But right today, why, of course, we are in a society founded entirely upon greed and buying and more and more and more. And this is the great difficulty. And they've actually encouraged is promiscuous buying on parts of people, and I certainly share your concern about the places where people put all the things that they bought that they don't need, but they just can't bring themselves to get rid of them, and they really should. They just get rid of these things and go on with their lives. Well, basically, what else would you suggest that people do now? We set the goal, get out of debt. You know, what about, you know, if we're going to have civil unrest in this country, shouldn't people begin making preparations for that?
Well, I do. I have my, my arms, and I'm also a close combat practitioner. And I train with John Perkins from attackproof.com, who is, in my opinion, the best of the best. And I've been at this game since, the early 1980s. And I don't wait to get hit. And that's what people really need to consider. You don't wait to get hit. And now there is time to plan. And the other thing, too, is, rip up these stupid lawns that are growing nothing but useless grass. I mean, you can't eat it or smoke it, So do something productive with it. And start planting, victory gardens again, and become more self-sustaining. And there are opportunities. And if your kid is going to college and you're wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars for him to get an MBA or a degree in journalism or communications or art history or humanities, and you don't have the money, yank him out of school and get them a job as an apprentice in a field that's going to provide a return on investment, and get them to work with their hands. And by the way, I'll tell you what I would do if I had the wherewithal and I was in charge of the stimulus package for a third of what we've given Citigroup. I would take that money and get these kids off the streets, because they're going to be breaking down your house before you know it. Get them some skills that could make men and women out of them. Get them off the streets and onto farms so they could learn skills. You know, the peasants were in better shape than our inner city kids. They knew how to mend a wall and sow seeds and when to harvest and when to plant. And we need to instill those kind of practical things into kids' hands so that they don't become a violent, uneducated society that is going to be very fearful to have in the future. And if we don't deal with this problem now, these kids are going to be wrecked. They're out of their minds already. Now you throw drugs on top of that, and the moronic politicians are going to come out with, "We got to get tough on crime. We need more police." Oh, yeah, great. Make the fascist state more fascist. Don't deal with the problem.
I think you're absolutely right. And, Chris, I'm really worried about a lot of these kids, because where are they going to get jobs, a halfway decent job, with the market shrinking? And we've got a lot of illegal aliens here that are taking jobs. They're more lower-paying jobs. But, you know, I think a lot of people just like a job. And as you pointed out, the fellow comes in there looking for jobs all the time, and there just aren't the jobs in construction, or so many of the things that we've been able to employ people with before, and I don't know when they're coming back. Do you?
Well, again, we won't have it until we have a productive capacity, and it could come with an alternative energy, but again, beyond wind, solar, biofuel, geothermal, it has to really be revolutionary. You know, something as big as the discovery of fire or the invention of the wheel, but we need a productive capacity. Without it, we're doomed. You can't just print money. Look how they brag that we were becoming a service sector society. 70% of our GDP is consumer-based. Oh, it is it? Well, anybody with intelligence would say you can't consume 70% more than you produce. And we've overconsumed. We're the heaviest nation. We live in the biggest houses. We drive the biggest cars. We've overconsumed, and now we have to cut back. You don't keep feeding the bloated system, and that's what they're doing.
And of course, manufacturing is the key. And unfortunately, we've been encouraging our manufacturing to move offshore for a number of years. Our guest today is Gerald Celente. Fascinating guest, fascinating information. I hope you've listened to what he has to say. Well, we've got 3 minutes more before we're going to have to wrap up the program and let you go. And I really appreciate so much you really being willing to stay with us the whole time. What would you like to summarize and just leave an idea with our listeners out across America?
Well, you know, to coin a phrase, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. And that for the people that love this country and don't want to lose it, they really have to become active. They have to stand up and speak out. And they have to regain their dignity. I mean, look what you're old enough to remember when people looked dignified, regardless of the job that they had. A friend of mine, his father was a sanitation worker, and every day he used to leave the house with a jacket and tie, and then go to the locker room and change into his sanitation uniform. We need to regain our dignity and respect, and it has to happen first with each of us. And again, you know, to go to your local meetings, speak up and take action, and stop believing in this two-party system, and open it up so that we can become the country that our founding fathers envisioned, and fight against the banksters, as you well know. It was the central banks taking over the country was a major issue from the founding fathers. Well, now they've taken it over. So, you know, unless we really, really regain the spirit within ourselves, then we're going to lose it.
Well, I fear you're right, and I fear that, you know, we need people letting the American people understand the history of our nation, understanding what credit is all about, understanding who creates the credit, understanding that, well, my grandfather told my father, you know, 90 years ago that there was a cabal, a banking cabal that controlled this country. Woodrow Wilson was writing about it back in 1913 in his book, The New Freedom. And people understood it in those days. They just, these things are not taught in our schools today. We've got people who go all the way through, you know, and get a PhD in economics, you know, at a major universities. And all they know are Keynesian economics, and they don't understand about anything about a free enterprise system or the importance of the individual in a society. Well, we're just about out of time. I'm going to let you go, but thank you so very much for sticking with us through the hour. It's been a fascinating hour, and I hope sometime when things develop, why we can get you back on again.
Well, I'd love that. Thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you so much. Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's been Gerald Celente. He was only supposed to stay with us for half an hour, but he was gracious enough to stay the full time. I hope you appreciate what he had to say. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Celente, and I think that it'll probably be a tape of the month, at least if I have anything to say. We'll have to see what my staff says, because we consult with all of our people who support us as we pick the four best tapes of the month, which brings me, of course, to the point where if you're not already a member of the Tape of the Month Club or CD of the Month Club and you'd like to join, your position to it, I know a lot of people are having real financial problems today, and I understand that. But if you are in a position to join us, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927 for a gift of $20 a month or more, ready as much as you can possibly afford. Why, of course, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. And then, of course, you can get that information out. Now, you can listen to our programs on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com for absolutely nothing. And we actually post our programs there, and they're not only posted live programs, but they're archived. There's a satellite feed that plays 9 hours a day, at least of my programs. And you'll hear Joyce Riley there and a couple of other people who are our friends. So we have a 24-hour satellite feed. And then, of course, you can certainly get the blogs. You can get the MP3. We want you to get the information. If you can support us, fine. If you can't, get the information out, because that's why I do what I do. Believe me, we don't get a salary for what I do. I do it because I'm trying to save America and have a better country, for generations yet unborn. And then, of course, you can watch our DVDs. We've got a lot of them posted there. There's another section called Other Videos, and you can actually go there, and there's a link to YouTube's, and you'll see Mr. Celente up there. We have him posted there on YouTube's. But it's a great source of information. If we don't like the video, we're certainly not going to post it there. But at least all you have to do is just go up and link then to the things that we think are worthwhile. And then, of course, you can read our newsletters. They're posted there. And hopefully we'll have the January newsletter posted very soon. I think it's very important. You understand that this whole financial crisis was created. It did not just happen. It was not a matter of market forces. There really are evil and wicked people who want to destroy this nation because they have a different loyalty. And their loyalty is to a one-world order, a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion. And they want to impose a new ruler on the world. And this has been an age-old attempt of the ancient secret societies. And that's why you guys need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Why you need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret. And get the syllabus that goes with that. That's why, of course, you need to get our talk on the planned police state. There is a planned police state. You need to get a concentration camp special, and you can get the DVD, you can get the four tape set, you can get the documents, or you can get the concentration camp special, and there you'll actually see videos of the congressman talking about the plan to round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something very, very real. And everything that's going on today has long-range planning, and behind that are powerful spirits of forces that energize the wicked men who are in key positions, who are part of the invisible government. we have two governments, a government I support, where we have our elected representatives. Mediocre as they are, at least they're elected, and they debate and they actually pass laws, you know, but we have an invisible government that's above the law. And you'll find that Mr. Daschle, you know, who is going to become the Secretary of Health and Education and Welfare, but he owned over $100,000+ in income tax. He's part of the elite. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers. He doesn't pay his taxes like the rest of us. Mr. Geithner, of course, as I knew, Secretary of the Treasury, he's part of the elite. He just forgot to pay a large part of his taxes, and, well, he just was allowed to pay them. But you and I did that, we'd be in trouble. I think there were three or four people there that had been picked by President Obama, and they didn't pay their taxes or were in trouble. We've never...